Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 259, When Your Healing Progresses Slowly, part 2. Pastor Harley Coulterman delivered this message on Sunday, May 15th, 2022 in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
So this morning I want to continue a message I began a couple of weeks ago. It was called When Your Healing Progresses Slowly. So sometimes people are disappointed by how fast things happen. So this message actually could be applied not just to healing. It can be applied to anything that seems to be either delayed or resisting your prayers. Sometimes, you know, we get disappointed, disillusioned, despair, and woe is me because it's not happening fast enough. But sometimes there are some reasons for it not happening faster. And so then we have to do some digging, we have to do some research, we have to do some praying, we have to do some hearing from God to find out, you know, where is this and what should I do and how should I continue to use my faith to progress in this thing, and how can I see the miracle that God has promised me in His Word? So instead of getting disappointed and disillusioned about where things are, it's better just to find out what God has to say about it. So I'm hopeful that the series of messages will help you in that process, because I know that this has been something that's been ongoing. I mean, this isn't new, you know, that sometimes it seems like God is really slow, but really God is always on time. Sometimes we're slow. And He's ready, and He's waiting, and when we get in with His plan and His purpose, and find out where this thing stands and what might be opposing us, then we can experience victory after victory after victory, and help many others step into victory. So I'm hopeful that these messages will help you in that way. So a lot of times people just, you know, they get to the place where they think, where in the world is God? Where is He? I need Him now, not yesterday. I need Him now, not tomorrow, not next week, next month, next year. I need Him here now. Well, the reality is He is here. Amen. He's unescapable. The Bible says that you can't go to the depths of the sea or to the highest mountain and find a place where He is not. He's there. He's with you. He's with you now. If you're born again, a believer, He's inside of you. You don't have to look far because He's inside. Amen. So He's ready to help you. He's ready to minister to you. He's ready to lift you up, strengthen you, encourage you, and do all the things that the Word says He will do. But sometimes it seems like He's a million miles away. But that's just an illusion. And the devil will lie to you, talk to you, sit on your shoulder and whisper in your ear, you know, well, God doesn't care about you and all of this business, but He's just a liar. The Bible says that He was a liar from the beginning. He hasn't changed a bit. And so just don't listen to His lies. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. So where is God? Where in the world is God? So when you remember the story of Moses, when he was coming up to the burning bush, you know, he saw this phenomena. This bush was burning. It was on fire, but it wasn't being consumed. And because it was such an unusual kind of phenomena, he went towards the bush. And when he got to the bush, God began to speak to him. Out of the bush, out of the fire, God began to speak to him. In Exodus chapter 3, verse 6, it records that God said, I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. When Moses heard this, he covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Isn't that amazing? God came in cloaked in fire inside of this bush that was burning but not being consumed. And Moses was afraid to look at him because he would be looking at God. Verse 7 says, the Lord told him, I have certainly seen the oppression of my people. This is the first thing that God said to him. Just think about this. So, you know, when God addresses you, He speaks about important stuff, right? Things that are important and important to His heart. So listen to what He had to say. I have certainly seen the oppression of my people in Egypt. So sometimes you might feel all alone. You might feel like God doesn't see your deal, what you're facing, what you're going through, what's hurting you. But that's wrong. God sees, just like he saw for these people who had been in slavery for 400 years. He saw what they were going through. He said, I have heard their cries of distress because of their harsh slave drivers. Yes, I am aware of their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the power of the Egyptians and to lead them out of Egypt into their own fertile and spacious land. So that's the heart of God, to lead you out of that place of despair and gloom, that place of hardship, that place of sickness, of weakness, the place of poverty, the place of desperation. He's there to lead you out of that place and take you to a good and spacious land, a different place, a place of goodness, a place of abundance, a place of blessing, a place of healing, wellness, and wholeness. That's the God that we serve. But you see, all of the things, all of the events that have led you to this place to say, where is God, are designed to discourage you, disappoint you, press you down, and keep you from stepping into new realities with Him. And if you let those things press you down, the place where you can see the goodness of God, where you can see the heart of God, where you can see that God wants to pour out His favor on you and His blessing on you. So then he says, it's a land flowing with milk and honey. It's a land where the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and the Jebusites now live. So who were all of those ites? They were all the ones that were trying to keep Israel out of that place, that spacious place. They were the devil's minions trying to keep them out. So just like the Israelites had some opposition when they went into the promised land, we have opposition to the blessing of God coming into our lives. So the question is, are we going to let God take us to that place and possess the land of the enemy? Or are we going to let despair and dismay take us down until we can't even get our head above the water? You just have to make a decision about how you're going to live your life and how you're going to fight back. Amen? Praise the Lord. So anyway, many believers know about this scripture. Yet they feel that God has forsaken them. I know a lot of fine, nice Christian people who just are really down and in despair. Look at all the things that are going on around us, all the trouble in the world, and you know it can be discouraging if that's all you feed on. And if all you feed on is CNN and NBC and ABC and CBS and BS, did I say that? But fake news and all of the other stuff. Okay. If that's all you feed on, you're going to be in trouble, right? Amen. So praise the Lord. So make your news the good news of the gospel. Feed yourself on the word of God and you'll have victory. Amen. My pastor used to end his television programs years ago. He used to end it, feed your faith and starve your doubts to death. Let them die. Praise the Lord. So let's feed our faith and come out of that place of funk. Amen. Praise the Lord. So anyway, many believers find themselves in adverse circumstances that have brought them discouragement and despair. And you might be one of them. You know, if you have any tendencies towards depression, you know, I used to live a life of depression. I know probably still tempted to do that sometimes, feel sorry for myself and pity myself and all of those other things. But if you get down into that place of despair and woe is me, it'll just keep taking you down. It's a downward spiral, and if you don't rise above that, it just keeps taking you down and sucking you in. So somewhere you have to get the good news in your heart and just put some spring back in your step and just put some fight in your backbone and say, hey, I'm not going to let this happen. Not now. Not here. Not on my watch. It's not happening here. Not in my house. Me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to have victory. Amen. Start encouraging yourself in the Lord. Start talking to yourself. You know, sometimes people say those people that talk to themselves, they're crazy. They might not be crazy. They might be encouraging themselves in the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So God is on your side. He is for you and he's not against you. But you have to believe that, and then you have to start walking like that's true, whether it seems like it's true or whether it seems like you're having victory or whether it seems like you're overcoming. You have to start taking some steps forward, because if you don't take steps forward, the devil will take you backward and take you down. In Jesus' name, fight back. Everybody say fight.
Fight.
Fight in Jesus' name.
Fight in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. So, the Word of God assures us that Jesus carried our sicknesses, our diseases, and our pains to the cross when he sacrificed his life in atonement for our sins. The Bible says that. It says he was wounded for our transgressions. So even your transgressions and sins can't keep you from the goodness of God. He was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquity. Chastisement of your peace was placed on him. And with his stripes, you were healed. You are healed. You were healed. 1 Peter 2, 24 says you are. Isaiah 53. 1 Peter 2, says 2:24 says you were. Isaiah 53 says you are. So if you were, you are. I guess it doesn't make any difference. It just puts it in the past. Jesus took it to the cross. Amen?
Amen.
That's the important thing. But if he took it to the cross, that means that you don't have to carry it anymore. You don't have to take the burden of it anymore, and you don't have to take the consequence of it anymore, because he took all of those consequences. Okay, so if your circumstances are contrary to that, so what do you do? That's what these messages are about. What can you do if it seems like your situation is resisting change and it doesn't seem like God is coming to your aid? What shall I do? So I'm just going to review a couple of the points we made in the last message. I'm not going to re-preach them, but if you want, you can go back to that message. It's on Facebook and it's on YouTube, and you can actually watch it, or you can go to our website and listen to it on the podcast as part one of this message. So anyway, in part one of this message, the first thing we said was give your faith a boost. You know, it's like a battery. If the battery goes dead, or, you know, we call it dead, it isn't really dead. It just needs a recharge. Amen? So if your circumstance is resisting change, give your faith a boost. I mean, that's a good common sense thing to do. If you're, you know, if the battery in the car runs down, you don't have to sit, you know, woe is me. I'm sitting in my family room. My car won't start. Well, honey, call somebody. Get a boost. Amen? Get a boost. You know, don't sit there and mope. Pick up that phone and call somebody and say, you know, I need a boost. Or at least call out to Jesus and say, Jesus, I need a boost this morning. I'm not feeling up to this, but I know that you are. Right. So, you know, he's not asleep. No. You might have been sleeping. He's not sleeping. Call out to him in a day of trouble. He said, I will deliver you and you will glorify me. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. But call somebody. Get your faith boost for the day. Praise the Lord. Don't get the bad news on Facebook or YouTube or TikTok or some other place, Instagram. Get a faith boost from somebody. Now, there's some good stuff on there, too. You can get a faith boost there. You know, watch some of the people that Ellie watches, and you'll get a boost. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If you need help, she'll help you find them. Praise the Lord. So, number two. So, well, just going back to number one, if you prayed once or twice or even many times and your healing or deliverance hasn't come yet, it doesn't mean that your faith is dead. You might just need another boost to your faith, to something to jumpstart your faith. Amen? Praise the Lord. So number two was uncover the real problem. Sometimes we mask a problem. And sometimes we don't even recognize what the real problem is. You know, I got problems, but I don't know what they are. You know, sometimes it's, what do they say, you're too close to the forest to see the trees, you know, something like that. Sometimes we just don't see it, and we're masking over something that's the real problem. We think the problem is this, but the problem is really that. So somehow we have to get to the bottom of that. We we can be smiling on the outside and dying on the inside, and you know, everybody thinks everything's fine with us. You know, we're the stellar Christian that never has any problems, but yet we're maybe buried in problems, and we haven't figured out what the real problems is. Sometimes illnesses reflect those deep needs in people's lives. So there might be something like that that we need to uncover. So when you expect God to do what only He can do, your healing will spring forth speedily. So you might not be on top of this thing, but God is on top of it, and He will make your healing come to you if you are able to uncover what the real issue is in your life. So sometimes that takes some process. It takes some help. Sometimes we need other people to speak with us, help us, pray through it with us. Sometimes it's just a matter of the Word of God becoming revelation to us. But there is a way out. You just have to find it. Amen? The third thing was get mad at the devil. A lot of people get mad at God. A lot of people get mad at God, and they blame all kinds of things on God. I mean, just it's amazing, you know, what people blame God for when it's really the devil working to steal, kill, and destroy. So the truth is that sickness doesn't come from God. Now, I know in these messages, I'm talking primarily about sickness because that's where a lot of people are. They're dealing with maybe long-term issues. Sometimes it's just been really, really difficult, a difficult circumstance in life. But you really can apply this message to any area that you might be struggling with. You know, whether it's a financial area, whether it's relationship, marriage problems, situations, circumstances, any of that, that the principles are the same. They work the same for everything because faith works the same for everything. So get mad at the devil, not at God. Yes. So how do you do, what can you do then coming out of your anger for the devil? The first thing is to receive God's grace for living. He said that He would give you grace, He would give you favor, so that you can serve Him acceptably with reverence and godly fear. So God's grace is sufficient, Paul said. His power is made perfect in weakness. His grace, His favor, when it begins to come into your life, it raises you out of that place where you can apply your anger to the thing you should be angry at, the person you should be angry at, not people and things and situations and circumstances, but at the devil who's behind all of the stuff that's going on. So direct your anger in the right area. So if you've had a prolonged sickness or a series of reoccurring illnesses, you have to fight back. So today I want to continue with number four in this area. It's number four is let the Word of God become revelation to you. Let it become revelation on the inside of you. I want to take you to Matthew chapter 16, verse 16. Where Simon Peter is responding to something that Jesus said. Jesus was asking His disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" So I guess it's a teaching day for the disciples. You know, we have DM 101 coming up. It's training time. It's training how to be a disciple and how to become a disciple maker. So Jesus did that with His disciples. We're endeavoring to follow after His example. That's why we have training sessions like that. And, you know, everybody here is invited. All you have to do is respond, RSVP to Ms. Tanya, and you're in. You even get a free lunch out of it. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Free lunches are nice, wonderful. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, but come and receive some training. Jesus was training His disciples that day, and He says to them, He trains by asking questions. You know, one of the maybe best methods of teaching is to ask questions, because then you find out where people are, and you can minister to where they are instead of where you think they are. Praise the Lord. So Matthew chapter 16, verse 16 says, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Now look at Jesus' reply. It says, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you." revealed this to you. So that's where we get the term revelation, when something becomes is revealed to you inside. So Simon Peter couldn't tell from externals that Jesus was the Messiah. He looked like every other, you know, Jewish man of the day. He wore the same kind of clothing. He wore the same kind of garb a Jewish rabbi would wear. He had, you know, his prayer shawl and all of the stuff, and wore sandals of the day, probably some really nice ones. We know that he had a really nice coat that he wore, one that was seamless, one that the soldiers gambled over when he got crucified. You know, you wouldn't gamble over trash, would you? I mean, if that coat wasn't worth some coin, those soldiers wouldn't have been gambling to get it, right? So Jesus wore some nice duds. Praise the Lord. So that's kind of a sideline, but here he's talking to Peter, and he said, "My Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock, "and on this rock I will build my church." Probably speaking of the rock of that revelation that Peter just said. "And the powers of hell will not conquer it." So you get some important doctrinal, theological training here, that on the rock of revelation that Jesus is the Messiah, the gates of hell, or all of hell assigned against it, will not conquer it, will not destroy it, because it stands the test of time and eternity, that that Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus is the promised one. Jesus is the one who came to atone for mankind's sin and redeem mankind and make a way for eternity with God. Praise the Lord. So he said the church would be built on that rock of revelation. Praise the Lord. So coming back to revelation, he said, "You are blessed because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you." It's so important for you to let the word of God become revelation. You can know in your head that God has sent Jesus to the cross to forgive your sins, but if that doesn't become revelation to you, you will probably never act on that knowledge and receive the forgiveness of your sins and receive release. You know, there's Christians, there are believers, believe it or not, there are believers who don't feel like they're forgiven for something they did 10 years ago, 5 years ago, yesterday, 20 years ago, 80 years ago. Some people carry those things the rest of their life because it never really becomes revelation to them that they're forgiven. Jesus died at the cross for your sins. He paid the price for your sin. So if you've messed up your life, it doesn't matter how badly you've messed it up. If you've come to Jesus and you've become born again, you've received Jesus as your Lord, he has forgiven you. So forgive yourself and go on. Get out of there. Don't look back. Don't purpose to do it again or whatever. But receive your forgiveness and forgive yourself. And say, "Thank God I'm forgiven. Thank God I'm free. Thank God I can live for Jesus. I'm a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new." Remind yourself of the word of God. Let that word become revelation on the inside of you. That's what we're talking about here. Let that revelation come to you. So when it comes to healing, whether you've had a long-term or a short-term illness, the word of God needs to become revelation inside of you for you to fight back and to receive your victory. Sometimes that's a process. I mean, it takes some time for it to get from here down to here. Amen? But you have to start taking it in here and here and here so that it can get down to here inside where it produces results, faith kinds of results. Faith only happens inside of your heart. The Bible says if you believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, and you confess with your mouth his lordship or that he is Lord, then you will be saved. So you can't even be saved without having revelation in your heart. You have to believe in your heart. If you just believe in your head, you know what will happen? The devil will come by next day and say, "You know that thing you heard at church? That's not right. Did God really say that? I mean, that's what he did in the Garden of Eden, right? He's still doing that stuff. You know why he's doing that stuff? Because it works. It works. I mean, if he can lie to you, if he can just talk to you and just, you know, just say, oh, you know, well, they say that at church, but you know how it really, you know how the world really is, you know? It's like really like this. And he lies to you. And he draws you off, and then you get some doubts and some fears and some confusion going on, you know? And that's a problem. So that's why it needs to become revelation in your heart. You have to really believe in your heart. Yeah. So then when we have an altar call, and we ask people to come to Jesus and repeat the sinner's prayer, then we say to them, if you really believe, really, really believe, and then you get into problems like that. But, you know, you can't convince the head to make the heart believe, right? God has to do something in the heart for you to have revelation. Jesus said to Peter, my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. So if God isn't working that revelation in you, it's not happening, baby. It is not happening. Amen? So that's why, you know, sometimes you want your friend to get saved, your husband to get saved, your wife to get saved, your, you know, somebody, the President of the United States. Oh, did I say that? But you can want stuff for people more than they want it for themselves, right? And you can't make somebody want it because you can't make somebody get a revelation of it, right? So the Father in heaven has to reveal something in the heart of a person for something to happen. So that's why we have the thing called P-R-A-Y-E-R, prayer. Amen? We can pray for somebody that they get a spirit of wisdom and revelation, right? And God will honor that prayer. Paul interceded for even believers. He interceded that they would get a spirit of wisdom and revelation going inside of them. Amen? Why is he praying that? Because he knows the devil's attacks. He knows the devil's tactics to try to keep people in unbelief and doubt and fear and turmoil and confusion. Amen? So if you're believing for somebody to come to Jesus, then attack the person who needs to be attacked, the devil, and bind him and stop his works. The Bible says if you bind the devil, you can spoil his goods. If you bind the strong man, you can spoil the goods in the house. You can steal the goods. Amen? Praise the Lord. So let's snatch those people out of the powers of darkness and bring them into the light by God giving them a spirit of wisdom and revelation on the inside. Real change to happen. So when we have the altar call at the tent meeting or anywhere else, that people are not experiencing information coming into their heads, but they're experiencing revelation coming into their hearts that takes a hold of the salvation that belongs to them because Jesus went to the cross of Calvary and they believe that God raised Jesus from the dead in their heart. They confess his lordship with their mouth and they come into the kingdom of God. Isn't that a happy day?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So it's called revelation. So with regard to your circumstance, you know, something you've been dealing for a long time or a short time with, revelation has to come inside. So how do we get that revelation? Well, we say, one of the things we say is meditate on the word of God. Amen. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, or Psalm chapter 1, you know, that says, when you meditate day and night, you shall be like a tree that's planted by rivers of living water that brings forth its fruit in its season. Its leaves also shall not wither, and whatever that person does shall prosper. Amen. Comes from meditating on the word of God. What does that do? It begins to work revelation in the heart. Amen. So speaking it with your mouth is important, but just saying words is not important, right? I mean, if you're just saying words because your cell leader said, you know, you have to say this, you got that, so you have to say this, and you just say this because cell leader said you have to say this, might be good, but it's probably not going to happen. Amen. You have to have revelation in your heart. I need to say this because it's the truth. I need to say this because it's the word of God. I need to say this because I believe it in my heart.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Glory to God. Hallelujah. I usually don't preach. I just teach. So, revelation is really, really, really important. So, Oral Roberts relates this story. In fact, some of this message I just got because I was inspired by a little booklet I found out in the barn that it was archived for a long time, and it fell out of one of the boxes there. When he's talking about this subject, about what to do, you know, when things are delayed. But anyway, he relates this story that when he got healed of tuberculosis many years ago, you know, when he was a young man, I think he was like 17 or 18 years old, he had tuberculosis and he was dying. And his sister came and told him, Oral, God's going to heal you. And he said, I heard my sister say that. And he said, a little short time later, my brother came to me and he said the same thing. He said, God is going to heal you. But then he said, one day my brother came and got me, hauled me and carried me to his car. I was too weak to walk myself, put me in the back seat of the car. And in the back seat of the car, while we were going to this tent meeting, when we were going to this tent meeting, God spoke to me and said, I'm going to heal you. Amen. And to make a long story short, God healed him of tuberculosis that night. Actually, Jesus healed him 2,000 years ago. That night in the tent meeting, Oral Roberts received his healing that Jesus provided for him 2,000 years before. And, you know, the rest is history. I mean, Oral Roberts University wouldn't be here if he had died that night. But he didn't die that night. He got healed that night because God spoke in his heart. And he got revelation of his healing. So that's how powerful it is to get a revelation of the Word of God. You need to hear the voice of God from the Word of God so that revelation comes in your heart so that you can take a hold of your healing. But, you know, if you don't open the book and look inside, or if you don't turn on the CD, or do they still have CDs? Is that still technology? Or if you don't go to the podcast, you know, we have healing scriptures. We have tons of healing scriptures. If you go to our website, mfhfw.org or .com, if you scroll down just a few paces down there, it says healing scriptures, and you can just click the little arrow, and instantly healing scriptures begin to come, dozens and dozens of them. And it's about a half hour long, and you can get a half hour of healing programmed into your heart so that you can get revelation of the Word of God about healing. Isn't that wonderful? Technology is great. You can download it in your phone, and then you don't have to go to the website because there's a little download button. Imagine that. Praise the Lord. We don't have any excuses, do we? There's so many ways we can get the Word of God. And then, you know, I know that besides that, there are dozens of, maybe not dozens, but there are, I think John Hagee has a whole, where he's doing the healing scriptures, and a number of other ministers have done this in really nice ways, put music behind it and all this good stuff. But the main thing is you can take in the Word of God and let it become real to you. That's what the idea is. It's take it in so that it becomes, so it goes from here to here, or from here to here, or from here to here to here. Amen? Revelation. Got to have it. Everybody say revelation.
Revelation.
Belongs to me.
Belongs to me.
So, maybe a few sessions ago, in the cell groups, we were studying the authority of the believer, right? So one of the things we were encouraging people to do during those cell lessons was that they continually begin to pray that prayer from Ephesians chapter 1, where Paul was praying over the Ephesian believers that they would get a spirit of wisdom and revelation. We were saying to you, pray that over yourself. Pray that over yourself every day. Get that down in your heart. Be praying and believing God for a spirit of wisdom and revelation. So if it seems like it's not getting from here to here, or from here to here, or from here to here to here, then do something to help that process along. Amen? Praise the Lord. So, yeah, it takes some time. But you know what? Some of you work jobs that you could work with your eyes closed and half asleep. So put the little ear pods in your ears and turn on the Word. Amen?
Come on,
So I'm not suggesting, you know, that you do wrong things, and you know, when you're supposed to be doing your work. But if you have opportunities like that, I mean, you have a drive time to the store, or to the school, or to the whatever, it's a good time to take the Word of God. Some of you actually exercise. Does anybody exercise? When you're working out, you can hear the Word of God. You can have the Word of God going. And some of you sleep, right? So you can have the Word of God going, you know, for all 12 hours that you're going to sleep. You can even sleep in late and it's still playing in the morning, you know, when you get up. You know, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But do what it takes to put it in. Amen. Because what you put in is going to come out. It's going to come out in a positive way. Jesus said to Peter, you didn't get this by yourself. You didn't get it from somebody else. My Father, which is in heaven, revealed it to you. Revelation is really, really important. Praise the Lord. So the Word of God and meditating in the Word plays a huge role in this. Prayer also has a role, Ephesians 1:17, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Isn't that great? He will give you what you ask for. He said, ask and it'll be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and the door will be open, so we have no excuse, right? You have not because you ask not, it says in another place, right? So if we're asking for a spirit of wisdom and revelation, guess what's coming? A spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Yes. Hallelujah. What that means is in relationship with him, a spirit of wisdom and revelation is coming on the inside of you. Praise the Lord. That'll change your day. Yes. Glory. It'll change your whole life if you will allow God to do that for you. So that's, I'm talking about, just to backtrack, I'm talking about things to do when it seems like change is resisting you or, you know, is not coming. It just is stuck somewhere. These are things that will help you get out of that place of despair and bring you to a place of faith that receives the answer, receives the solution, receives the turnaround, the breakthrough, whatever it is that you need in your life to get through this thing to the place where God designed for you. So let me ask you a question. If you want to minister to people and help people, would it be easier to do it when you're sick or when you're well?
When you're well. When you're well.
Okay. So why would we want to stay sick? When we can be well and help people. Amen. Praise the Lord. So there's no condemnation. If something's been going on for a long time and you haven't gotten to the bottom of it, don't despair. It's not the end yet. Amen? Right. If you're living and breathing and you're hearing this message, there's still hope. Amen? And faith is the substance of the things you hope for. It's the evidence of the thing you cannot see. So keep pressing in till you get to the place where you have what God promised you to have so that you can be who God intended for you to be. Amen. So keep getting breakthrough after breakthrough. Sometimes it's progressive, but every little victory is important. Amen. So if you can do more today than you did yesterday because God has brought improvement, don't just think about improvement. Think about God's word is working in me. And nothing's stopping his healing from coming to me. Nothing in Jesus' name is stopping it. Amen. But don't just look at, you know, well, I feel better today, and then tomorrow, oh, I don't feel so good today. Because if you do that, you're going to be on the roller coaster and on the yo-yo. Be up one day, down the next day. Up the next day, up, down the next day. Some of you have been there, I can tell. I can tell by your response. Stay on the up. Stay on the up by putting the Word of God first. Amen. And fighting back when the down tries to come in Jesus' name. But if you do have improvement, just rejoice and say, thank you, God, your word is working. If you lack improvement, say, thank you, Jesus, your word is working. Yes. Amen. It's still working. Yes. May not seem like it, may not look like it, other people may not see it. It doesn't matter what they see, what they believe. What matters is what I see and what I believe, and my faith is seeing the answer. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. So, okay. So that was point number four. Let the word of God become revelation. How are we doing here? Number five, receive God's chosen delivery system. Now, here's a good one. Sometimes we have it in our heart and our mind. We know how God is going to do this. He has to do it this way, just exactly like this. And we can be 100% wrong. Because God is creative. He can do it any way he wants to. You know, one time Jesus spit in this guy's eyes. One time he spit on his finger and touched somebody's tongue. Now, we're not using that method here today. I think we're not using that method. We might be using that method today. I don't know. Who wants to be first? The line is already forming from here to the back, you can see. Okay, well, he did it, though, right? The word says he did it. Sometimes he just spoke. Sometimes he gave them an instruction. He said to the 10 lepers, he said, go show yourself to the priest, because that's what they would have had to do anyway if they were going to re-enter society. So just go show yourself to the priest. The Bible says as they went, they were healed. So that wasn't an instantaneous heal. If they hadn't started going, they would have never got it. And then one of them came back and thanked him. And he said, where are the rest of these guys? And that man was made every whit whole, the Bible says. What does that mean? That means that his fingers that were missing, his ear that had dropped off, his nose that had corroded away, all came back to him. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. So, Jesus did it in different ways. He might be working some different ways in your life. There's a story about that in the Bible. It's a story of Naaman. You can find it in 2 Kings chapter 5. The gist of the story was this man Naaman was a Syrian general. He had a servant that had been a slave girl that had been taken from Israel. And one day she said, this guy Naaman, he had leprosy, which in those days was an incurable. And the young girl said to her mistress, the lady that was the lady of the house, she said, you know, if my master would just go to Israel, the prophet of God could heal him. And so I guess the lady told her husband, this is what the little girl said, and sparked some activity. And Naaman decided, I'm going to believe the little girl, I'm going to go. So see how you might feel insignificant and unimportant, but if a little girl can be the instrument of healing for a general of a nation, the top general of a nation, you know, you might be able to do something too. You should just think about that. That's a sideline, but you ought to think about that. You think you're insignificant. You think what you say doesn't matter to anybody. It could matter. It could matter a lot. It could change this nation. It's a good thought, isn't it? Because our nation needs to change and needs some changing coming. Praise the Lord. So anyway, she said that to him, and so he got his squadron together, and they took their chariots, and they came to Israel. They came to the prophet Elisha. So they come to his house, and they're expecting, you know, this great healing ceremony. The prophet's going to come out. He's going to do something, say hocus pocus, and do something over me, and whatever. He didn't even come out of his house. He just sent his servant out there. Said, servant, tell him to go dip in the Jordan 7 times. The Jordan River. And so Naaman is thinking, this is disrespect. The guy didn't even come out of his house. Doesn't he know how important I am? I'm the general in Syria, blah, blah, blah. I'm Mr. something. I could bring my army down here and destroy this whole place. I could blow this place up. And he just says, go dip in the Jordan River. We have nice rivers in Syria. We don't have a stinking dirty Jordan River. We have a nice river. And so he got mad and was going to storm off and go home. But then his squadron convinced him. They said, you know what? What have you got to lose? Okay, so I mean, you go to the Jordan River. If this doesn't work, we can come back and wipe this place out. We can do it. What have you got to lose? So he goes into the Jordan River, he dips 7 times, and he gets healed, just like the prophet said. So like Naaman, sometimes we can have an idea of how God should fix our deal. He should fix it just like this, and now, if not sooner. And then it doesn't happen that way. So we reject God's delivery system, and we decide it has to be like this. So if we decide it has to be like this, and it's not the way God is doing it, guess what happens? Nothing. Right? If Naaman hadn't dipped in the Jordan, he would have went home sick. But when he accepted God's delivery system for his healing, he got well. He got healed. He was made whole. So, if God manifests his healing power in a way that you weren't expecting, what do you have to lose? Amen? What do you have to lose? Why not just relax, receive, believe, use your faith, and accept however he wants to send it to you? So it might be the oily touch of an elder's hand, or it might be the muddy water. Who knows? I don't know. Or it might be that guy spitting. No, that's not it. Not today. All right. So in Matthew chapter 18, verse 3, it says, "Then he said, I tell you the truth, unless you turn from your sins and become as little children, you will never get into the kingdom of heaven." What does that have to do with this? This doesn't have to do with your sinning and it's not happening. This has to do with being like a little child. You know what's unique about children? You can be a bad parent and they still trust you. You can be mean to them and they still trust you. Amen? You can make mistakes with them and they still trust you because they're little kids. They're born with a trust in their heart for a parent. Sometimes, you know, you wonder why these little kids love their parents when they've been such, you know, rotten parents, and they still love them. The Bible says you can't even get in the kingdom of God unless you're like a little child. So if a little child can trust a parent, why can't we trust God with our healing process? With his plan, his purpose, how he does it, his method of delivery. Can we trust him? He's trustworthy. Amen. He said, "You can trust me." And the Bible says he never changes. So this trustworthy God is the same as the trustworthy God in the Old Testament and the New Covenant as well. We can trust him. What he did for Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, he will do for you. What he did for Elijah and Elisha, he will do for you. What he did for the people who received healings in the Old Testament and the New Testament, he will do for you. Because he's trustworthy. You can take it to the bank. If he said you're healed by the stripes of Jesus, you're healed by the stripes of Jesus. Now, the only issue is, how are you going to receive it? You don't have to question how he's going to deliver it. Just trust that he is. Amen? That the delivery system is there. It's been prepared. There are some things that we know, of course. You know, the Bible says, "These signs shall follow those that believe in my name." Sometimes, you know, we put the comma in the wrong place. Do you believe in the name of Jesus? If you believe in the name of Jesus, these signs will follow you. You will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. If you believe in the name of Jesus, you can cast out devils. If you believe in the name of Jesus, if some deadly poison comes into your system, it will be destroyed. If you believe in the name of Jesus, you can raise the dead and heal the sick and cast out devils any day, every day, anytime, because you're a believer in Jesus. It didn't say these signs will follow the preachers, the evangelists, the prophets, the pastors, the apostles. It said these signs will follow those who believe in my name. Amen? So sometimes you're waiting for pastor to pray for somebody. Go do it yourself, you lazy thing. Just go up and say, slap them on the head and say, "You're healed in Jesus' name," and watch them go out. And if they don't have a catcher, you know, I don't know what to tell you. They might sue you. I don't know. But it's a risk we take. Amen? Praise the Lord. And if the whole line that you're working on goes out at the same time, not my problem. Praise the Lord. Just believe God and trust Him, because He's trustworthy. Praise the Lord forever. So, one thing you can be sure of is that He wants you to receive your healing. He died to secure it for you. So He will make it come to pass. My notes say time check. Okay. So there's a big time shaking going on in the world right now. Lots of stuff happening. Lots of bad stuff, but some good stuff. On the good side, the Holy Spirit is moving across the land. On the good side, every day, 35,000 to 50,000 Chinese come to Jesus. And there are billions of Chinese. There's over a billion Chinese. And they're coming to Jesus at the rate of 35,000 to 50,000 a day. Isn't that wonderful? In South and Central America, 35,000 Latinos are coming to Jesus today.
Yeah, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. In Iran, the greatest revival in history is happening in that nation. In a hard place, in a difficult place, God is doing good things. Amongst all the bad stuff that you hear on the news, God is doing good stuff. But there's a big time shaking. The nations are being realigned. There's a realignment in the nations that are taking place right now. It's more than likely getting ready for what you read about in the book of Revelation, or what you read about in Ezekiel 30, 38 and 39. If you haven't read those chapters and you want to know what's going to happen, just read them. It could be scary, but then we know that Jesus is coming back. Amen? Praise the Lord. So that shaking is going on. And speaking of the end time shaking, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 27, it says, "Now this, yet once more, indicates that the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore," everybody say therefore.
Therefore.
Somebody said when it says therefore, you should see what it's there for. "Since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. For our God is a consuming fire. Fuego. Since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace." What does that mean? Let's have the favor of God operating in our lives. He's not, His kingdom isn't being shaken. Amen?
Amen.
And His word says the kingdom of God is within you. So that means if the kingdom of God is within you and it's not being shaken, you're not going to be shaken either. Amen?
Amen.
Even when the stuff outside is shaken, you don't have to be shaken, because the things which remain are remaining. Amen. Praise the Lord. So don't let the devil have his way in your life. He comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but Jesus came to give life and to give it abundantly. So take the abundant life. Take that end of it. So what do? Give your faith a boost. Uncover the real problem. Get mad at the devil. Let the word become revelation. Receive God's chosen delivery system. And there's more to come. Praise the Lord. So let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the power and the authority of the name of Jesus. Thank you that there's no greater authority in heaven and earth than that of Jesus. And the authority that He's released over His believers, over His followers, His disciples. Thank you, Father, that the word, your word, is not returning empty, but it is accomplishing what you please. It is prospering where you sent it. Thank you, Father God, for your word working mightily in our hearts today. for a spirit of wisdom and revelation coming in our hearts today, so that we can accept and receive the healing that you have for us, so that we can receive the blessing that you have for our lives, and so that poverty, sin, sickness, disease, every kind of lack, and every kind of thing that the devil uses to steal from us is destroyed, because Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. We praise you for it. We thank you for it. We open our hearts to receive from you mightily today in Jesus' name. Father, I pray over those that are watching us on live stream. I ask you, Father, today that you move in a powerful way, that their healing will spring forth speedily, that the word of God will become revelation in their hearts, that they will fight back when the devil attacks and win every time because Jesus is Lord. Those that don't know you, Father, that might be watching, I ask you that you would show them, that you would open their hearts to receive, that they can believe in their heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, that they can confess with their mouth his lordship and become saved and start a new journey with you forever. I thank you, Father God, for moving in their hearts, moving in their lives, moving in their homes and in their families. And I thank you for setting them entirely free by the power of the blood of Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus, you're an awesome God. You're an awesome Savior. You're a wonderful Lord. We release your power over them right now in the name of Jesus. We release your power and presence into their homes in the name of Jesus. We release your power and presence into this place to heal every sickness, every disease, every weakness, every infirmity, to set right everything that's wrong in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord, for hearing our prayers and for answering and for honoring them in the name of Jesus, name above every name. And everybody said,
thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.